you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined as always by John Moon Mullen. Moon, we got a curveball thrown at us on Monday with the Bears listing Mitch Trubisky on their injury report with a sore right shoulder. Or just a right shoulder. I shouldn't say that it's sore, but that probably is what's going on here with an AC joint sprain that Ian Rappaport reported. Not what you want to see with a right-handed quarterback who runs as much as Mitch Trubisky does. That being said, we're recording this on Tuesday during practice. We don't know what is going to play out over the next 48 hours as to who is the Bears' starting quarterback. But I think we have to say there is a possibility that Mitch Trubisky will not play on Thursday against the Detroit Lions.
You know, just as you say, I'm thinking back to, was it before the Buffalo game or when Khalil Mack was in this situation? And you're kind of, the debate was, well, are they, you know, could they beat him without him? Mm. You almost could ask that question, could they beat the Lions without him? Yeah, going with the backup that's what Stanton has thrown 78 passes in his career. I mean, some quarterback. I mean, I think it hasn't Drew Brees thrown any in a game.
Patrick Mahomes probably did last night.
I know he probably. Right. His arm is sore just from overuse. No, it changes something. You know, coaches will always say you prepare for the scheme, not the man. Mm-hmm. But you know, Matt Patricia's. I think this is a really concerning situation because Patricia comes from a really good defensive. Again, the coaching tree of Bill Belichick is not the best, but Patricia's played some pretty good, you know, defended some pretty good quarterbacks. They just put it on, or just not put it on, but they just got past Cam Newton and Carolina, which is a team with a winning record. This will be a hurdle, and I think the fact that they came, the Lions came back or rebounded from the loss to the Bears, which was fairly decisive. And beat, you know, pick themselves up and beat Cam Newton. They're not. I don't think they're going to be a down team with a coach who knows how to has schemed against guys like this.
Right, and your point being that the Bears were able to beat the Jets and the Bills without Khalil Mack, without Allen Robinson. It's a totally different dynamic when you remove the quarterback from the equation because there's so much. The design of the offense is about the quarterback. So now, you know, you can't run the RPOs and the zone reads that maybe you did with Trubisky. Now, look, Chase Daniel is not immobile.
Right.
It's not like we're talking about, you know, them throwing, Mike Glennon back there as the backup.
You had to bring that up, didn't you? What did you do?
I'm sorry.
You just ruined the whole podcast.
No, I'm sorry. We've hit our quota for Mike Glennon references on the podcast. But you can't do the same things that you were going to do with Trubisky. On the flip side of that, Chase Daniel does know this offense. He's been in it for 5 years. He said today he knows it like the back of his hand. I'm going to play some audio from Chase Daniel in the locker room a little bit later on in this podcast. He does have the knowledge of it, and while he has only thrown whatever it was, 78 passes in his career, and we're not talking about a guy with reams of game experience in it, he does have a lot of practice experience in it, and that is why, you know, that's partly why the Bears went out and signed him. It's not just to help get Trubisky be prepared. It had to be that they trust this guy to step in if something were to happen to their quarterback.
Yeah, and the concern to me with Daniel, I thought he played actually really well, I think, in preseason. Again, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it, with what was going on in preseason.
Wait, hold on. I got a take. Matt Nagy was brilliant for benching the starters against Kansas City because it got Chase Daniel reps against a first-team defense. Go.
Oh, what a plan. He just knew. But the specific that I would worry about with Daniel, again, he knows how to run the offense. He knows how to run it, which means you're going to be under control. The game aside, as Nagy said, it's not too fast for him. The guy's been around. He's 31, whatever. But he hasn't run that much that many plays, that many reps with Taylor Gabriel, with mm-hmm. Anthony Miller, with Allen Robinson, with Trey Burton. Those, we saw what it took for Trubisky to mm-hmm. settle in with those guys. And significantly, let's say that first quarter, you know, over three, you kind of airmail a throw or two, all of a sudden it's a pick. You know, you don't want to ever get down to a team. And the Lions play well. There's something mm-hmm. about that. Every year that seems to be their Super Bowl. So you just hope that as he settles in, he doesn't have those one or two bad throws. Oh, Gabriel's a little faster than mm-hmm. I thought, and it's behind him, or he overthrows. I thought he was taller or whatever. Right. So, yeah, there'll be a little bit of a settling in. At least he's a veteran, but and you know, I think he knows how to handle settling in.
Yeah, I did ask Chase Daniel about that in the locker room, about the timing aspect of it, and he said it's really not that big of a concern because he does throw to these guys on the side during mm-hmm. practice, before practice, all that. I do want to play the sound mm-hmm. of Chase Daniel from mm-hmm. the locker room because there are some interesting things in there just about his readiness and his ability to go out there and play on Thursday. So here's Chase Daniel in the Bears locker room.
Chase, as the backup, you're always one play away. How prepared are you to start if needed?
Really prepared. I mean, I think that's, you know, when I first signed here, you know, I got asked at my opening press conference, you know, what are the most important things of a backup quarterback? Number one, obviously, was get the starter ready to do whatever he needs to do. And number two was to be ready when your number's called, if it's called. So, you know, this week is a little bit different just because it's a short week, but I really haven't changed the way I've prepared. Prepare like a starter every week, so for me it's just another game.
How does the familiarity with Nagy and the offense help you in this situation?
Yeah, a lot. You know, Nags and I go way back. He's my position coach for 3 years in Kansas City, obviously, and we stayed close for my time away in Kansas City. And yeah, we have a great relationship, so if it comes to that, you know, we trust each other pretty well, so we know what each other likes, and I think we would just roll.
Even if you're running the practice squad offense, going against the Bears' number one defense, will that make you prepared if you do go Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we have the best defense in the league. I mean, I see it every day in practice. You know, you see Khalil rushing full speed. You got, you know, our back end like that, the linebackers. I mean, it's something that, you know, if I were to play, I think it's for sure prepared me. You know, I'm going against the best defense in the league in practice every single day.
Have you gotten any tempo reps with this offense this season, and how many, if you could share?
No, I haven't gotten any, but, you know, it's the same offense that I was in for 5 years. So for me, and it's mostly the same plays. We got some tweaks here and there, obviously different personnel, but I mean, I know the offense like the back of my hand, right? It's the fifth or sixth year going on in the league in this offense. So there's a very good comfort level there. So I don't see that being an issue at all.
All right, so that was Chase Daniel. I want to get into that quote about him knowing the offense like the back of his hand, because I go back. So full disclosure, I was at Missouri when Chase Daniel was at Missouri. I got to see him play every game his junior and senior year, where he was a Heisman Trophy finalist his junior year. He was a really good college quarterback.
He could play.
And I remember talking to someone there after he left who told me that he was one of the smartest quarterbacks he's ever seen at the college level, and that he was going to be an offensive coordinator as soon as his NFL career was over. Now, I think a lot of people thought his NFL career would last about 6 minutes.
Right.
And he wouldn't really make it in the league. Here we are 10 years later. He's still in the league. Actually, a fun comment someone made to me there was, if you took Chase Daniel's brain for football and his football acumen and just the IQ that he has, and you put it on Blaine Gabbert's body, who succeeded him at Mizzou, top 10 pick, flamed out in the NFL, you would have had one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Ooh. Yeah, that I'm not sure how many, again, as you say that, it almost makes you think, gee, I wonder who else could we say that about? But, you know, that's, you hope that at least his brain, that the offensive guys are familiar enough with him, they're comfortable enough,
right.
You know, that knowing the offense, again, a lot of it's, again, unless you run it at game speed, it's nothing like practice. But Daniel's been around enough to know that. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be, the moment is not going to be too big for him.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, that the stage, the moment, the pressure of the whole thing is not going to be too big for him. But that being said, the flip side of this whole thing is that he hasn't faced a live defense in an NFL game, in a game where he's got starters reps since, I believe, 2014, mm-hmm. which was the, as he deemed it, the Alex Smith spleen game, where he had to come in and, you know, play for Alex Smith off the bench. So I did ask him, you know, in that audio about facing the Bears defense in practice, and that is a good prep for it. totally different when you get into a game and it is game speed and the bullets are actually flying out there.
Yeah, I mean, when this is a team with some good players. I mean, Ziggy Ansah, he's going to be looking at live, you know, they're going to have to take good care of him. Now, that gets into, you know, speculative game planning. Well, will this be another – this will be a Jordan Howard game. Let's just run it. I don't think they'll do that. I don't think that's Nagy's DNA. I mean, I think he may open with a couple of throws. You know, he may try to exploit what the – he may – let's get ahead. Let's think what the Lions think we're going to do. And I hope he doesn't out-scheme himself. But he's just not that guy who's going to load up the running back for 31 carries. So I don't think we're going to see a radically different offense, especially, you know, Daniel says, I know this offense like the back of my hand. Why would you run something different then?
Yeah, that's the exact point, that you don't just all of a sudden turn into an offense where it's ground and pound 40 times with Jordan Howard. It still is the same offense. You just can't do certain wrinkles in it that, you know, will take out some certain things in the play. You probably won't have as many deep shots downfield because Trubisky has a better arm than Chase Daniel. But maybe it leads to more crossing routes, more screens, things where Daniel can just easily get the ball to his playmakers in space and you let Taylor Gabriel do his thing and Tariq Cohen do his thing. I think that may be the tweak that you have to make. Now, we're saying all this essentially presuming that Trubisky won't play.
Right.
There is still a really good chance that Mitch Trubisky plays. What I'm interested in is if he plays with any restrictions. Even if the Bears tell him, you know what, you're fine to go out there and play. If he, instead of, you know, taking off and running on a 3rd and 5, that he usually would get that if he tries to force a throw because he's trying to protect his shoulder. I think that is the interesting thing to follow with Trubisky here, is that if he's not the quarterback he has been, where running has been a big part of his game, what does that look like for him?
Yeah, and here's the thing. If I'm Detroit and I'm Patricia, you know, teams have, even before Trubisky's the injury, kind of one of the casual books on him around, let's make Trubisky beat us. Mm-hmm. Now, he's proving to be better and better and can do that. If he's got an impingement or impairment, you know, I would, if I'm scheming against him, I would load up Cohen and Howard. They will not gain more than 1.3 yards a carry the first. I want to see this guy beat us. I want to see what his arm is. I don't think they're going to – there will be some – you know, Patricia coming from the Belichick, they'll scheme something. And I think they may really, really make Trubisky show us that your arm's okay if he plays.
Yeah, I think the Lions also getting Darius Slay back, who did not play in the game a couple weeks ago. That is big. Darius Slay is a very good cornerback. And to say that Deshaun Shedd, who Allen Robinson completely and thoroughly clowned, is a downgrade from Darius Slay is pretty obvious there. I do think the point about running the ball, though, just because we've talked about this at length, that the Bears have struggled to run the football with their running backs, I think the Lions can probably come into any game, especially against the Bears, and say, you know what, we added Damon Harrison for this reason. We've still got A'shaun Robinson. We've got guys in that front where we don't necessarily have to load up the box.
Right.
And then we really make it difficult on Trubisky if he's not 100%, if he's not accurate doing the things that we've seen Trubisky do, and certainly saw him do against the Lions on November 11th, then that becomes a really difficult wrinkle for this game for the Bears offense.
It is, and I think what you can see them scheming to also with guys like that, it's almost like the Bears, not almost like the Bears, but, you know, with Harrison and Robinson, now you're talking about kind of the, you know, the Twin Towers inside of Goldman and Hicks kind of thing. Okay, we know you guys got the middle. We can play around. And what I would also make, if it's Daniel, we're going to send a blitzer in a typical way. He's not a rookie quarterback, but let's make him make some decisions. Let's not let him run quite the – who's the hot? If he has to think about it for a second, you know, and getting back to the one disaster will be a couple of turnovers in the first half, and all of a sudden they're down 14-0.
All right, I'm just going to finish you with this because this is a question that I'm sure you and I will get quite a bit by anyone we come in contact with over the next 48 hours. What's your gut? Who plays on Thursday? My gut is that Trubisky plays, and that is just a gut feeling that this is not enough to keep him out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I'm sitting here guaranteeing he's going to play because, I think there's a good chance that Chase Daniel does play.
Yeah, I was trying to tell just from body language and language from Nagy, okay, what do you really think? I mean, he knows. He knew before he ever talked to us on Monday that Trubisky was dinged. You know what, JJ, I would like to think that, because there's a sense I have of Trubisky's a gamer. He will play. And the question we don't know is it an AC joint? Is it a tear? Is there something going on, so that if he plays, which I think is a question for the doctors, and if he plays, will he make it worse, or is it just pain?
Yes.
Is it pain, or is it a chance of worsening the injury? If it's pain and he really got just a bruise, or not just a bruise, then I would see the kid trying it, but Daniel being ready to go. I would think either he's three things can happen. He's okay, in which case he plays. Mm-hmm. He's sort of okay, and he gives it a go. Or Daniel. And I think so. 2 out of 3, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go that he starts.
Yeah, I think that point there about it being the potential for it to get worse, I think that is where the Bears would say, you know what,
yeah,
kid?
They can't afford that.
We can't afford that, same as they did with Robinson and Mac.
Absolutely.
Look, we can sit you out for one game, but you know what? We're confident we're going to win, but you know what? If we lose this game, but we get you for the rest of the year, that is a net benefit than us trying to force you out there. It gets worse all of a sudden. You're not out there when we play the Rams, and that would be a much bigger deal here. So, yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. But, yeah, a lot of questions to be answered by the Bears between now and Thursday at 11:30 a.m. We're going to take a break here on the Under Center podcast. Come back with just a larger look at the Bears-Lions game on Thanksgiving. So stick with us here on NBC Sports Chicago.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, Moon and JJ back here on the Under Center podcast. Remember, immediately following Thursday's game, you can watch the football after show. Lawrence Holmes, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, Matt Forte, they do a fantastic job breaking everything down from the Bears and Lions. You can also listen to their podcast. They'll have an edition of the Under Center podcast coming to you on Thanksgiving as well. Listen to it in the car while you're coming back from dinner with your family. Great for the whole fam. Great for any football fan, really. And, I'm going to be listening to that driving back from Ford Field back to Ann Arbor, where I'm staying with my wife and my dog on Thanksgiving.
That would be fun. And, in fact, you know, not to just plug the show, but Alex and Matt and Lance, the thing we get with that program, and I listen to it, absolutely. I put it on the radio and we're on the press box afterwards. No program or anywhere goes into that kind of depth. I mean, there are three players, and Lawrence moderates it, just gets out of the way and lets those guys tell things. It's like, wow. You know, they were seeing things we didn't see in the game.
Yeah.
And I think that, they played against the Lions. I was trying to remember it. I don't know if they played a Thanksgiving Day game. I'm trying to remember the games I've seen over there. But, no, just to put in a plug for the show, there is so much – they're Bears-centric, whereas, you know, some of the – the Fox show with those guys are great, but it's not as much Bears.
Mm-hmm.
You will get stuff out of this show you didn't get watching the game.
Yeah, one other plug, too. You can watch it on the My Teams app if you're with your family on Thanksgiving and you want to duck away for a little bit because things have got a little rowdy around the table, or maybe politics got brought up and you just want to get away from it for a little bit. Go watch it on the My Teams app. Anyways, back to football. Bears at Lions, 11:30 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day. One quote that stands out, Akeem Hicks said this to a couple of us the week before the first Lions game. And he said, the challenge is for whoever wins the game against the first game against the Lions. Because when you come back in that second game, that defeat is still fresh in the mind of your opponent. And they're going to be even hungrier to beat you because you just beat them like 11 days ago. So that becomes a challenge for the Bears now, because the Lions are going to come out with a certain intensity in this game that the Bears are going to have to match. Where we've seen the Bears match the intensity of the moment before. Mm-hmm. They certainly did against the Vikings on Sunday night. But to do it on the road against a team in the Lions that, while they may not be – the Bears are a better team than the Lions. But like you said earlier, Moon, this is kind of like Detroit Super Bowl. You win on Thanksgiving. You beat the Bears. You say, hey, you know what? You guys beat us pretty handily a couple weeks ago, but we got you back this time. This is going to be a difficult test for this Bears team.
It is, and it's a fun – I mean, just so folks know, these guys, it's a business. Football is a business, yeah, but – but they all know they love playing on national TV because all your peers are watching.
Mm-hmm.
So – and I would have put that on the Lions. Again, I go back to something we said earlier. They rebounded and beat Carolina, which is not a trash team. And – so they know they can win. And so now,
Matt. Real quick, for the record,
Carolina should have won that game.
Oh, absolutely.
I tweeted it out. If Mitch Trubisky missed the throw that Cam Newton missed on that two-point conversion, the meltdown, Michael Lombardi might get elected mayor of Chicago. Like, it would have been just a massive tornado of whatever involving Trubisky. Yeah. Anyways.
And what was that? The kick? You know, there's so many missed kicks around the NFL.
Like, why is it with the Lions? It's always the Lions. It's Cody Parkey, Mason Crosby, and now Graham Gano. It's always against the Lions.
So now, so maybe that's the X factor. Who's going to have the worst day? Which kicker is going to lose this game? That's a terrible way to look at this whole thing. But, you know, isn't it sad to say? I mean, it's an indoor stadium, so it conditions should be good, but they've been good before and guys have missed kicks. But you're right. I mean, the Lions should have lost this game, except for kicking, but that's part of the game. So I don't.
Right.
But they know they can win. They know they can beat a team with a winning record.
Mentally, for the Lions, beating a Panthers team that probably is going to the playoffs. I know the Panthers are coming off that, you know, just getting pasted by the Steelers, to then come in and lose to the Lions. Not a great look for them. But like you said, you know, now Detroit has this kind of momentum of, you know, hey, we just beat a good team. Let's go beat another good team, and that does count for something.
Well, and remember, we said this before the first game. The three teams that the Lions have beaten were all the teams beat the Bears. So if I'm looking at the schedule, I say, wait, we beat Miami, New England, and Green Bay. They all beat the Bears. We know we can do it. So again, there's an emotional component to the game. You know, when you're physically down, both teams are playing on a short week, but those little motivators, you know, it's a big deal. There's some local pride. A lot of emotion, you know, the intangibles to me, I would argue, they favor the Lions in this game. I mean, the location and everything else.
I don't disagree with that. I think this is a prime opportunity for a quote-unquote letdown game for the Bears.
A trap game.
Where, look, you're coming off the biggest win you've had in this franchise in 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And now you have to go play 88 hours later on the road against a team that you just beat, but they just beat a good team. That extra motivation. Look, if the Bears win this game, to me, this is a great job by Matt Nagy. And it's not to say that if they lose, it's a bad job by Matt Nagy. But if Matt Nagy can kind of rally these guys, get the schedule right this week, get everyone rested as best as possible, get them prepared as best as possible, and then they go out and beat the Lions, even if that'll knock the Lions to 4-7. Yeah. The Lions are going to finish in last place in the division if they lose this game. They probably will anyway. But to me, beating them would be a fantastic coaching job by Matt Nagy in this game.
Yeah, to get his team up, they will have gotten every maxed out what they could have gotten from what we talked about a three-game mega stretch. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is for a team that couldn't win in the NFC North to win three straight. Including one on the road and one against the Vikings. You really have now added to the confidence. The fun part with Nagy is he's an ex-player. Don't you get the feeling too, JJ? His player roots are still running.
He's a player.
Yeah. I mean, we don't get to watch practice. He's probably out there throwing warm-up passes. Mm-hmm. So I think he can relate to these guys. I think he knows the ups and downs. And he talks about it frequently. You know, how do you respond to a win? How do you respond to a loss? He gets that. So I think, you know, if there's a guy who's going to get his team ready, this is it. And to your point, I agree completely. This will have been a tremendous coaching job to get these guys ready. And let's credit, you know, Helfrich and Vic Fangio and the rest of the staff. I mean, it all goes together. But Nagy's the flag of the standard bearer here. And to have rallied this team, which was so bad against these Lions, with 9 out of 10 before last game.
Right.
So, you know, there's been a bit of a turnaround.
I will say, while we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, if Mitch Trubisky will play, won't play, the fact that Kerryon Johnson will not play for the Lions, that is a big factor here. I mean, look, the Bears shut him down in the week. God, I can't remember what week it is anymore. November 11th, that game at Soldier Field. You take him out, and now all of a sudden you have LeGarrette Blount, who's averaging like 2.3 yards per carry, and Theo Riddick, who's a very good receiver as a running back, but not exactly a great runner as a running back. This Bears defense that it could almost be like a Babytown Frolics for Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman. Yes. It was like, oh, we got to tackle LeGarrette Blount. Okay, that's done. Easy. Yep. Especially also, too, the way that Leonard Floyd's playing against the run lately, Khalil Mack against the run. This Bears defense will shut down the run. Mm-hmm. And it'll then just kind of be incumbent on the defensive backs to, you know, you turn them into a one-dimensional mm-hmm. offense again, and can you make plays? Can Kyle Fuller yeah. and Bryce Callahan and Prince Mukamara make plays? Can Eddie Jackson make another play? If you can do that, then whatever the offense does may not even matter as much. Because yeah. if you can make the kind of plays against Detroit to make them one-dimensional, turn the ball over, have these negative big plays, then Detroit may not be able to score enough points to beat an offense led by Chase Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford to me is a wild card. It has been since he came in the league, and having watched him over the years, he's capable of putting a team on his back, and he's also dropping them. You know, mm-hmm. he's just such an unknown. So in this game, as you mentioned, without you know, some questions over the running game, he may throw it 55 times, which really makes it, you know, hard to – how do you plan for this game? Mm-hmm. But the you know, it's funny, just as you were talking about, I'm thinking back to the game we just watched on Monday night, which mm-hmm. was, you know, 204 mm-hmm. points, I think. And we're talking about Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks. I wonder if guys like that look, or Harrison, you know, whomever, mm-hmm. the big dudes, the big guys. Yeah. If this game is going more and more away from them, I mean, Eddie Goldman is a tremendous nose tackle, yeah. but he's not a pass rusher. What's the future for guys like that in this game?
I think that's what I was actually kind of wanted to talk about that to close mm-hmm. out the podcast, because that was a really interesting – that's a really interesting point to make. Because you see the way the game is going and it's passing-oriented. The fact mm-hmm. that Sean McVay, in a situation where every bit of conventional wisdom said, run the ball at the end of the game, make them use their timeouts, mm-hmm. he still passed it because he was trying to just win the game and not even yeah. give the ball back to Kansas City. That being said, there still are enough offenses in this league that have not caught up to that.
Right.
And it'll happen. Mm-hmm. They will catch up. But the Bears have Eddie Goldman for 4 years. Eddie Goldman is going to be a big factor in this defense for 4 years because you still are going to face teams that need to run the football. And look, I mean, it's not to say the Rams and Chiefs don't need to run the football because they have two of the best running backs
tremendous.
In the NFL.
Yes, we forget that.
Todd yeah. Gurley and Kareem Hunt were non-factors on the ground yep. when that game got to its, you know, warp speed exciting level in the fourth quarter. So I remember actually thinking to myself around the 2 minute warning, when was the last time a running back actually carried the ball? And yeah. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it was like watching a video game.
It was like watching competitive Madden.
Exactly. So yeah, but yeah, to your point, I mean, teams will do, you know, the league, so many things are like a pendulum. It's when nobody can run, okay, we're going to bring guys in who can run. Mm-hmm. It'll go back and forth, but the you know, the role those guys play, you still, it's basic. If my big guys knock your big guys backwards, mm-hmm. I'm going to win most of the time. So Eddie Goldman is still, and Hicks, the one thing I would, if I were scheming against those guys and you want to see how well they'll do indoors, start, you know, teams will run wide or they'll make those big guys run early, which takes the energy away from them. Mm-hmm. You know, Aaron Donald is what you want, not mm-hmm. Eddie Goldman in the fourth quarter rushing yeah. the passer. So if they'll put the Bears in nickel, making Hicks the D tackle, the big guys mm-hmm. be,
right.
and then hopefully they got enough energy for late in the game.
I'm going to finish it off with this one thought. That game, I thought Vic Fangio made an interesting point today where he said he turned it on for the last 2 minutes, to which my thought was, wow, you saw two interceptions right. and you saw a lot of good defense. But this is where modern defense is in the NFL, where you to be a good modern defense, you have to be able to turn the ball over, you have to be able to make big plays, because you're probably not going to stop the opposing offense unless you're the Bears. And this is where I hope we get to see, I mean, we will get to see Bears-Rams mm-hmm. in December. If we get to see Bears-Saints at the Superdome, to me, that would be the watershed game in the NFL. Not Rams-Chiefs, mm-hmm. where both teams' defenses are kind of leaky. The watershed game in the NFL, to me, would be in the Dome yeah. against the best offense in the NFL, or even in L.A. against the mm-hmm. Rams. Can the best defense in the NFL overcome the best offense in the NFL and make it to the Super Bowl? I don't know what the answer to that is. That's probably a 2-hour podcast mm-hmm. we can get into. But watching that game last night, that was all I could think of is, what would the Bears defense do? I really don't know. And that's saying something, because the Bears have far and away the best defense in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and now, and again, this is for a lot of young guys. I mean, they're still, And we talk about Trubisky and to have all year, his emergence or his up, you know, his arrow pointing up. There's still guys, you know, I don't know how good Eddie Jackson is. Is he running a lot? He sure looks like it sometimes. So, you know, there are Roquan Smith, you mentioned Leonard Floyd. There are guys whose arrows are still going up, which is hugely important just to divert because they give up all their, they don't have any draft choices the next couple of years. So what you got is what you got. So, you know, but again, how they match up, one thing I do like about the Bears is that they are designed. They're a speed team. In fact, even Lovie Smith's teams used to be. They were built for turf. You know, they're a speed team. They're not a lot of big. We talk about Hicks and Goldman, but a lot of this team is Khalil Mack, and it's Leonard Floyd, and it's Roquan Smith. They're not big. Danny Trevathan. They're not a jumbo team. Mm-hmm. So to me, that really does bode well for the kind of defense, and they're still physical. So when they do meet, as you said, it's kind of fun to look forward to what they might meet. We're talking playoffs. Are we okay?
Like a bad, I don't know about that.
Yeah, just
we're talking playoffs at Halifax.
Playoffs. Yeah. So, but I know. I think you said. I think the design of this team is going to be interesting to watch how it emerges because they've got speed guys who can be physical, and that to me is a really, really great combination. I mean, that's what wins in the NFL. Too many teams have either or,
right.
And they can be beaten with the opposite.
All right, we got to get out of here. Hope you enjoyed this, whether you're listening on Thanksgiving. If you are, have a happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening before Thanksgiving, hope you have safe travels to wherever you wind up. And we'll be back with you next week with a fresh Under Center podcast from Halas Hall. Thanks for listening, everyone.